Attention musicians of all levels. It's not always easy picking out a song by ear. Sometimes you need a little help. Well, I have the app for you. Whether you're a professional musician or a beginner, Ultimate Guitar is an amazing app. For just $2.99, you get the chords and tabs on guitar, bass, or ukulele for over a million songs. They're all available at your fingertips. You also get tools like a tuner, metronome, chord library, lessons, videos, and more. You can find out any song you want. It also has like transpose button. It has auto scroll that you can change the speed to so you can play along with the song. A lot of the songs have the lyrics there so you can sing along with them. Ultimate Guitar is an amazing app. Just go to ultimateguitar.com or download the app to your phone today and start playing. Start playing any song you want. Ultimate Guitar, that's the place for you. Let's get down.
You may ask yourself,
how did I get here? And now here is your host, Johnny Howdy.
When we talked,
all right, hello, I'm Johnny, I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I hope you guys have all had a good week, whatever it is you do during the week. I've had a really good week. It's been, if you live in Austin, you know what I'm talking about. The heat has been like extreme. It's been over 100 degrees every single day. The lows are like the 80s. It's been a little insane. But my dog Rosie and I, we do stuff in the morning for a couple of hours. Like I try and get up really early and do something like around 6:30 till about, you know, 9 or 10. Try and do something exciting with her outside. Go to the park, go for a walk, go to a place and walk around. We've been going to Onion Creek. That's a good place. I like going out there now. My friend Kelly Mickwee, great songwriter, told me about that place. It's a fantastic place. I run into some folks out there every time I'm out there. Some cool, like rock and roll dog walking people. It's cool. They're out there walking their dogs. You're like, hey, you come here too? Hey, you come here too? Hey, gang, I want to tell you, if you listen to this show, the day that it comes out, tomorrow, Saturday, July 16th, Skyrocket will be playing at Hotspot here in Austin. If you live in the northern quadrant of the Austin area, that's a place that you can kind of like get to. It's in Cedar Park, I believe is where it is actually, like technically. But it's Austin, man. It's a little trek for me, but I'm really excited to play out there. It's a great venue. They've been doing great shows out there, great touring shows too. I mean, you know, maybe you've seen all that stuff on your social media, or maybe you've been out there to see a show. Our shows out there are really fun. It's nice. It's outside. We start at 8, so it'll be cool. And there's a great screen, so our video presentation is super awesome. Our drummer Darren is back from his tour. We haven't been with him in 6 weeks, so that's an exciting thing. It was really fun. We rehearsed yesterday, and like getting back into that groove, you forget that that's the engine, you know, that runs this band is the drummer. Even your band, whatever it is, you know what I mean. The feel of the band starts with this person, right? The way that they lay down the groove. So we've had all these sub drummers coming in, it feels, you know, Skyrocket. We've been playing together for 20 years, you know, and I mean I've been playing with Darren for 25 years off and on, 20 more than that, you know, as friends, but 20 years with Skyrocket. So you get used to a certain feel. Like I'm playing keyboards on songs where I'm playing piano and really sort of like feeling the thing. It's a little different when a drummer with a different feel comes in. So it's pretty exciting to get back into that. Sorry, I just had to tell you guys, because that's the thing as a musician, that like it's like, you know, it's like putting on your favorite pair of jeans that fits right, you know, if that's a good analogy. I'll try and think of a better one. Gang, I have a great show for you today. Brandon and Derek Campbell, they are twins from Versailles, Kentucky, and play under the name The Kentucky Gentlemen. And they play country music. They're based out of Nashville. Their singles, Love Language, Alcohol, Vibin', and Whatever You're Up For, which also was featured on CMT. Amazing songs. Great, great songwriters. A great vibe. These songs were produced by Chris Sly from Rascal Flatts and Grammy-nominated producer Matt McClure, who did Lee Bryce and Dylan Scott. They've recently been on the road with the Black Opry Review. I didn't say this, but they are African-American dudes. And we have a great conversation about the challenges of trying to navigate predominantly white music business. they are in Nashville, you know, and in country music. And you know, the fact that they've been featured on so many things is because it's a testament to what great artists they are. They're great, great. We have a great conversation about growing up together. There was a time that they spent apart and they realized like, hey, we should get back together. They moved to Nashville, started making music with these amazing producers, and here they are now. You can find them at thekygentleman.com. I know that sounds a little funny for those of you that are thinking, but the KY is for Kentucky. Thekygentleman.com. We do have a little laugh about it. It's not for KY Jelly. It's for Kentucky. The KY Gentleman. You can find their music on Spotify or wherever it is you listen to music. They're currently living in Nashville. I said that they grew up on 90s country and R&B, and they put that music together, and that's their sound. And you know, it over the last decade, I've sort of come to accept new sounds in country music. You know what I mean? I think that there's a thing where there's people that, like, I'm not as immersed in country music, so I'm not there as it's developing in the forefront. What I'm stuck in is like the country music that I grew up on, and then I walked away from it, and then I came back and it sounded weird to me. But that's what happens. There's an evolution to country music, and these guys are pretty much on the forefront of that, blending country and R&B together and creating this great new sound, which they have. The Kentucky Gentlemen. I had a great time talking to Brandon and Derek Campbell. They're really, really wonderful people. They're twins. You know, that's a great, we talk about growing up in Kentucky, growing up on the music, and just kind of like what made them decide to make music. Great conversation. Enjoy my conversation with Derek and Brandon Campbell, the Kentucky Gentlemen. Let's get down.
Not thinking about you, not thinking about someone new. Trying to move on with my life, cause that's what you're supposed to do. Not drinking about you, not drinking about all we've been through. Trying to drown you out of my life. Now I'm pouring down whiskey and wine, making those memories fade till I'm a drunk cliche.
There's this thing, man, like I was born in Miami. My dad always lived there, and you'd go out on the boat, you know, and they'd take you to go behind the famous people's houses. And they'd always go by one of the houses on Miami Beach and go, that's where the Bee Gees lived. And I'd be like, those guys don't live together. They're all millionaires and like grownups. So Derek, you and Brandon, even though you started out living together in the womb,
yes,
all the way until whenever you stopped and probably living together on the road, when you go home, you do not live together.
Our rule is we technically do live together, but our rule is once one of us is married, that is when we will part. until then, we are together. We just happen to not be together today.
Right. Okay. Okay. But, so you do live together?
We do live together. We do.
Wow. Okay. So someone could drive by y'all's house and be like, that's the Campbell's house.
That's it.
How are you guys doing? Are you in Nashville?
We are. I'm actually in Nashville. He is back home in Kentucky currently.
Okay.
He had to run up there to take care of some things. But
you guys live in Nashville.
We live in Nashville.
Okay. Well, I'm glad we finally, I was going through this stuff today, like kind of go, I realized like we've been trying to set this up since February. But I'm glad it finally happened because I've been really wanting to talk to you guys for a while.
Yeah, we're so happy to finally get to talk to you. We appreciate you having us, and
we're
looking forward to this.
So your stuff is great, and I was earlier I was listening to it. I had to just playing in the background while I was making my notes and reading stuff. And I'm at my grandma's house right now in Houston, helping take care of her. My aunt walked by, and she was like, "God, I like that. What is that?" And it's weird because country music, like I'm 53, okay? And I'm not a country artist and I'm not a country aficionado by any means. But your music sounds like pop music to me.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, go ahead.
We do pull a lot from our like, we grew up pretty much strictly on R&B and country. And so, to us, there in our household, we didn't really separate the two.
Sure.
And I think that is why a lot of people, what they hear is exactly that.
Yeah.
And they're used to separating the two.
Well, I also feel like it's a generational thing, man. I feel like you guys are in your 20s, right? Okay, so right. I'm in my 50s. There were definitive lines. Like, you didn't go to an Ozzy Osbourne show, like when I was a kid, wearing a Hall & Oates shirt because someone would beat the shit out of you, right?
Yeah.
But now music is just kind of music. It's not old. It's not new. It's just music.
Exactly. That. We have noticed that with that generationally. Like, a lot of us, like, back in the day, like, the countryest of kids would not have been, even in, like, early 90s, not have been bumping Ice Cube. But, like, the rednecks were bumping Lil Wayne growing up, you know?
That's true. Like, I think true.
Just, yeah, everyone just listens to everything. You almost can't help, like, kind of the, like, young artists, very young artists, and those who are in their 20s and younger, like, they can't help but have all those influences pulled out.
Yeah. It reminds me of, like, I was seeing Mayfest a few weeks ago. I wore a cowboy hat, but I wore a Whitney Houston shirt all day long. So when I was, like, walking to the bars, people would, like, point it out and then do a Whitney Houston cover. And it was, like, there was no, in the right after a country cover, they'd go, oh, let's do some Whitney Houston.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, also, like, there's, I mean, at least when I was growing up, there was, like, one African-American country guy. And his name was Johnny Mathis. But he was also super pop. Or not Johnny Mathis. Sorry. Why am I confusing the names? It wasn't Johnny Mathis. Charlie Pride.
Yeah.
Sorry. But like, it's all of it seems so... Do you never feel any sort of race issues? Do you in it? It seems you would.
We certainly do.
Absolutely.
And we just, there's a whole lot of, like, yes, we're in the room and we're working our tails off. But, like, you know, it's not so much as when Charlie Pride first started out, they is what he looks like. But it's definitely, we face those barriers that people put on you every time you're in the room, every time they listen to a song, there's always this preconceived notion. And if you don't fit that bill, they kind of put a ceiling over you and say, well, we don't think that's marketable, or we don't think this or that. And so kind of what we're about is standing in that exactly who we are and seeing how far that'll get us. Just as kind of our own point of kind of pushing the barriers ourselves. We certainly face race comments and those unfortunate standards quite a bit.
Sure. And that never deterred you from going, like, instead of, like, going to, like, pursue a less country and West, like, country vibe. Like, I'm, you know, what I'm trying to get at is you guys have fucking balls.
Like, yeah.
And I think you're great. And I think it's cool as shit that you have stood your ground. But also there's a part of me that's kind of a chicken shit that would be like, you know, dude, I don't know if I want to put up with all this. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, I have always said that it's really no different than growing up in Versailles, Kentucky. So,
well, tell me about that. I've never even heard of that place. Where is that?
It's a small town right outside of Lexington.
Okay.
It's a claim to fame, Woodford Reserve, Woodford County. That's we're bourbon country and horse country, just kind of that kind of deal. It's just, you know, there weren't so many
black people
around, and if they were black, there's a good chance we were actually related. It was just very, very small, and so you dealt with a whole lot of issues, and everyone had their own way of getting through those things and surviving those things and kind of growing into better adults than the ones that you dealt with growing up. But it's just, I guess, what kind of how we face it is, it's really no different than kind of being not in the majority and dealing with those same aspects as, you know, as kids. Sure. But we are, we love country music, and we love what we like, and we just kind of just keep pressing forward till we get to where we're going.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't want to let this go unsaid for a while because there might be some people that don't know you guys that are familiar with the show that are listening to this right now that are super pissed off. But you did have, like, you had a video on CMT. There's a lot of stuff that you guys do have going on. Like,
Yeah. has been a very big, I would say out of a lot of the organizations that come out of Nashville, CMT has always led the charge of making country music and country music industry more diverse.
And so, inclusive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever You're Up For was a tune that they played. Great song too, by the way. All these songs are great. You guys, talk to me about your songwriting. Like, how do these songs come up? You guys write them yourselves? Do you write with other people? What's the jam?
Yeah, at the end of the day, we know that the songs, the music is what's most important. All those other things we just talked about, but the music is where it's at. And so we understand the importance of the music reflecting our own authenticity. So we kind of signed like-minded and even not so like-minded writers in Nashville, and we're all kind of gathering rooms, and it's the camaraderie kind of really helped us like find our sound and find out how to get like just what we want to get across. Whatever you're up for, we had a writing camp, and we just kind of like locked ourselves away for days with a bunch of writers. And at the very end of it, we were like, we have not, like, it's been really serious camp. We were a lot of serious songs.
Right.
And we were like, we haven't really written anything fun. Like, let's actually just let loose.
Let's write a show opener. We need a show opener. We need upbeat. And he came in, another producer, was like, oh, I think I have a track that y'all might like. And he played that track, and 10 seconds in, I was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. Because we actually had never written with like a track before. Usually everyone's got guitars in their hands. But there was something kind of about that first, like electric, like chords that just kind of struck us. And we figured that was a great way to start off the year and release that out into the world. And CMT picked it up, and we've played it all over CMA Fest, and it's been making its rounds, and we're just really excited to where that's going and how that's being received.
Tell me a little bit about CMA Fest, because although I do have some country people, a lot of them are like Texas country and not really in the system. That you guys are in the system. Like, you're in the country music system.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Yeah.
I mean, shit, you're in the machine, right? Who puts out your music? Real quick.
We're actually independent.
Okay.
Still, we've got great people around us to help us out, but we release everything independently right now.
What about publishing? Do you guys have a deal with that, or is there?
We have no deal with that either. We do as just as individual artists. It's really, which is interesting to be kind of in quote unquote the system and the machine with the two of us kind of running the show a lot. But I think, like, it's honestly working out well for now, and we're kind of one of those we're holding off till the most perfect, thing comes along.
Yeah,
we think that's best for us, and honestly, it's helped us stay creative.
It seems also that, like, in my mind of what country music could be, you guys could be the after party musically. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you get
a solo acoustic like Maren Morris to start off the night, then like a Chris Stapleton in the middle, and then you hit the fucking club for the Kentucky Gentleman. Yeah, you know what I mean?
I love that description. Love that.
Thanks. If you guys ever need a guy to throw out quotes, just give me a shout. I'll give you what I can.
All right. Yeah, we're a dance the night away kind of people.
Yeah.
And we enjoy that, and so we just kind of try to bring that everywhere we go.
That's the part that, to me, I hate to keep on bringing it up, but it is a real thing. Like, in your racial situation, in the world that you live in, the fact that you guys are like, hey, man, we're just having a party. You guys are welcome to join us or fuck off. You know what I mean? It's not really as the Sex Pistols as that, but like, there is like a, we're having a good time, join us or don't.
That's exactly, I mean, I always say coming to a show is like watching us as kids with brushes in our hands, singing in the bedroom, just performing, making our parents sit down and watch, and us just kind of dancing, sing as hard as we can. And that's literally all we're doing on stage. And we kind of hope that people can't help but to join us.
Yeah. We've been a lot of times lately, we've been saying like, join the train or miss the train. Either way, we're going to have a good time on
the
train. So
let me tell you something, dude, that comes through so strongly in your music. It really does. That attitude does. Yeah, it totally does. So back to how do you Versailles or you don't say Versailles?
No, we don't say
very touchy subject. No,
people get real offended when you say Versailles.
I
They're
bet
like,
they
this
do.
Ain't France. This ain't France.
So you guys are growing up there. What's the population generally? Number one.
I'm not just super sure of the town population, but I know just, you know, there's one middle school, one high school. We graduated with maybe 150 kids, which was a higher number than there usually is. Uh-huh.
Our whole dad's side of the family's from there. He had 13 brothers and sisters. They all went to the same high school that we went to. Just like, yeah. It's pretty small. I would say like the base is, I think it's like 8,000 now.
Jesus, got yeah, 8,000.
Yeah. By the time when we left, it was probably 4,000 though.
Okay.
It's expanded a little bit. Good for them.
It's growing. All right. So you're growing up there and you're first like exposed to music in church and you joined the choir.
Yeah. So growing up, like in the church that we grew up in, there's children's choir, teenage choir, young adult choir, then like the adult choir. Okay. And all the way up till young adult, your parents forced you to sing in church. Whether you could sing or not, you were in the choir.
Right, right.
So basically at 5 years old, we were singing the simplest songs and whether we could sing or not back then, I can't attest to, but we definitely were forced to sing in church.
Was it Baptist?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, First Baptist Church.
Right off Main Street.
6 hour sermon.
Really?
So long. I would say maybe 11 to like 4 p.m. It would be so.
The average time that we would get out it would be around 3, from 11 to 3. And then it was a great Sunday if I got out at just a couple hours in. Usually it was like when University of Kentucky basketball was about to play or something like that.
Okay.
We'd sneak out during like family prayer when everybody'd have their eyes closed and there was like a gas station next door and we'd go and get like a bunch of food and just like, I was like, even Jesus needs a lunch break.
So that goes into my next question. How connected were you to the religion itself as young people? Were you like God-fearing kids and like...
I mean, we definitely love God. I honestly, maybe the 6 hour sermon deterred me from continuing to show up into my adulthood consistently. But we built a strong relationship with God. When we're asked about that, we don't necessarily struggle with a relationship.
Okay.
Or anything. We're real comfortable with how the Lord sees us, and we know he loves us.
That's good. That's good because there's, I mean, in a lot of, I mean, I can imagine in your hometown at that church, like, hey guys, we're going to go play the Pride concert in Nashville. I don't know how popular that would be.
Yeah.
I know in mine it wouldn't be.
Yeah, the funniest part is like the way that we are now when we're like, join the train or don't, we're going to have fun. As kids, we came across that same way. And so, like, and our parents, like, made us that way, even from a very young age. So people back even then knew we were just who we were and we're going to do what we do. And they can either be happy with us and for us, or they can kind of, like, stand away and let us do our thing.
Right.
And it's what it was back then.
Exactly. A lot of love to our parents for making sure that the church couldn't hurt us. And I think that we got to a certain age and then they were like, your choice, you know, you're a teenager now. It's go where you want to, where you feel most comfortable. And we did.
I think about that confidence and I wonder if any of it comes from being twins, like always having a person there with you since inception.
We just talked to each other about that. We said that we kind of came to the conclusion that there's a good chance if we weren't together and the things just, you know, in Nashville, you hear so much, so many no's all the time and so many things get said and done to you and things and you, you know, people, solo acts come home, they go home and they have to face that themselves. They have to push through, like, a lot of times it, themselves. But, you know, we got to lean on it. We had to go home, lean on each other and regroup and rebuild. And I think that the fact that we've been able to keep doing that is why we're still here doing this.
Is there any competition that comes inherently from being twins? I dated a twin for a while.
There is. Nowadays, there's a whole lot of, in terms, I guess, Brandon, what do you think, actually?
In like what regards? Like,
well, you guys, I mean, you guys share, like, in whatever accolades you would get right now, you would share. All right, but I'm sure you each have friends that aren't that close with the other one that are like, Derek, dude, you should be singing more, dude. Brandon's nowhere near as good as you. I know that's got to happen. Like, I've been a musician my whole life, and I've been in bands where there's two singers, and someone's always telling you you're better than the other guy.
I think nowadays, these days right now, a lot of the ad-libs that we're writing and recording in songs, there is a... Like, why are you getting that big note? Like,
so, see, that's what,
like,
I'm wondering.
There are,
yeah,
moments on stage where I'm right beside him and I'm just belting all the big notes with him. He's looking at me like, why are you doing that?
Well, you think that's got to be at least some of it. Like, you're there and you're a team and you're viewed as a team. But, like, within that team, you are like, why is that guy getting to sing the big note right now? That's not, yeah. It should be mine.
There's a lot of it. We're, you know, just growing further into adulthood. There is a, like, oh my goodness, like, why are we still sharing everything? Like, there's a whole, now there's a, this is fine, stop touching it, ask for something. Like,
yeah,
you know, like, it's very much like that.
Let me ask you this. How many other siblings do you guys have?
We have one.
Oh, you have one?
Ooh. And he's just a year older, actually. So, like, maybe a year and a half older. So
you guys are all
kind
of the same age.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything that, like, that keeps him left out of what you two experience as twins?
We have very different interests. He's actually an MMA fighter. And
you're kidding. That is awesome, and so odd, too.
Yeah, college football player, MMA fighter now. He's just, I think, you know, there's definitely a, because there's like the Campbell brothers and then there's the Campbell twins. And then, you know, sometimes, like, there's this, like, annoying thing on, I'm sure that he hears, like, why people do seem to only be infatuated with the twins.
I feel like a lot of people have, which is, strange to us because, like, to us, we're like, yeah, we're twins, we're brothers. But a lot of people are very, very infatuated with twins. So, like, they have, like, all these questions, and our older brother's standing right beside us, and all they're doing is asking me and him questions. Right. Like, it's like, so, like, we, like, go overboard sometimes and do everything in our power to make sure that we're not doing it ourselves.
Right, right.
But definitely, like, it's hard when we meet people and he's with us, and then all they're doing is, like, talking about us being twins.
Yeah.
But he is pretty, he himself is in that regard, is still pretty supportive. He knows that's not our fault, I guess.
Yeah.
That's good. This is a weird question. Do MMA fighters have, like, theme music like wrestlers do?
Yeah.
Did y'all do his music?
No. He doesn't choose. He usually chooses, Brandon, what does he usually choose? Like, he's changed it up a couple of times, mm-hmm. but...
Yeah, like, most of the time it's, like, between rap and, like, rock. But every once in a while he'll, like, do something, like, real, like, out there. And, like, I think he does it to mess with the opponent's mind because all of a sudden, like, he's a pretty big dude. And his, like, nickname he goes by is Crazy Eyes. So he comes out, and when it's, like, not something super aggressive, and he's, like, smiling because he knows that, like, the guy he's about to fight is, like, why is this dude, big dude, walking out the back? So, yeah, but he does have to. I need to bring that up, actually.
Yeah, you guys should do some theme music. If you want me to, I'll go ahead and step in and negotiate that deal for you guys.
Please do.
I will say I'm already scared of you. I'm always scared of, like, MMA guys because I always grew up like a little artsy guy that was always getting his ass kicked by people somewhere, you know, like as a teenager. So okay, so you guys sang in the church choir, and then like in your teen years, when did this thing take hold? Like, hey, let's like, what was the dream like when you were teenagers? Did you have a band? Did you write songs? Did you make music? Or
we did write songs, all including our big brother. We were a trio for a little bit as kids. For all our initials, it was DQB. And so, like, we would, like, write voicemail songs for, like, if people called us or our parents, you'd hear us, like, singing, and he'd be in the background playing piano, doing music and stuff. But, like, we had honestly always, you know, dreamed of doing music for a living and, you know, playing live shows and whatnot. But then we ended up going to separate colleges, and, after about close to a year, we weren't feeling what we were doing and where things were going.
What was your major, Derek?
I was actually had a ballet scholarship at Indiana
really?
University. Yes.
Oh, awesome, dude.
Yeah. And what about my brother was at Columbia.
I studied music and fashion marketing at Columbia College in Chicago.
Okay.
Yeah.
Those are equally, those are both two really cool things to pursue.
Yeah,
so that's why you guys also look so cool, right, Brandon? Are you the guy that calls the shots, like, fashion-wise in the duo?
I try my best to not. He doesn't like it when I tell him he's my client, but
you know, he tries to make me dress like him, and I'm not having it.
You'd think his friends you wouldn't want to dress alike.
Exactly. That was always the MO growing up. We did not.
Sorry, what were you going to say?
I was just so, like, you know, during that first, like, semester and year of when we were separated, we actually barely spoke. And to this day, I'm not even sure what that was about. There was, like, I think it was a subconscious, like, we need to do some things apart.
Sure.
But I think then once we, like, realized we weren't happy where we were, and we kind of reconvened, and that was around 19 years old, and that's when, as a family, a little family meeting, and the next step was to do music together, and we kind of picked up, and a couple months later, and moved into a one bedroom to Nashville. So that's when, like, the Kentucky Gentleman started.
Wow. So what did you do to get started there? So you just moved to Nashville. Did you have songs? What did you have? Any connections or anyone's phone number or a gig?
We had no connections, no phone numbers. We had a bunch of songs that we wrote a cappella because I wasn't the best guitar player yet. And we had a dream.
And we had fake IDs.
And that's what fake IDs. So,
that very first year, we wrote a song every single day, though, just to kind of really get, like, our boots under our feet, and kind of, we called it getting the worst stuff out of the way. But nowadays, that stuff's still some of my favorite things we've written. But that's kind of how we, and then we just kind of started shaking hands and meeting other writers, and we've been building ever since. So.
Wow, man. I'm serious. You guys have such balls. Like, you just moved to this intense, like, music business city. Like, I live in Austin. You can smoke weed there and like all day and like still get your gigs done and everything, but like you can't fuck around in those other towns, you know what I mean?
They
eat your lunch.
It's kind of funny because when we moved there, I thought I had more money, and then when I got there they like somehow doubled the security deposit for some reason. Apparently I didn't have enough credit as a 19-year-old, so by the time my parents left, I didn't tell them, but I only had 67 cents in my bank
account. We had no money.
No money. And then I realized that I forgot my toothbrush in Kentucky. So I had to go buy a kid's toothbrush and kid's toothpaste. And I used that for like a year. Like, I was only buying kid's toothpaste fast because they were so much cheaper. But I used my last penny on a kid's toothbrush my first day in Nashville.
We would rock, paper, scissors every night to see who would get the bedroom or who would get the futon in the living room. Like, it was, you know, we were some, whenever I say it out loud, I'm like, wow, I'm so glad I, you know, didn't care about, like, what I had at the moment.
So did you found jobs?
We did.
What did you end up doing?
I delivered ice, actually.
Okay.
I had two grocery stores, and I was a delivery guy.
Yeah. And I baked and frosted cakes in a bakery.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
Did you learn how to actually bake? Like, is that something you can do?
Yeah, well, I knew how to bake prior, but I never really wanted to do it for money. But they were hiring, and I actually was like, when I signed up as a dishwasher, I lasted all of like 3 days doing that and was like, hey, I'm going to quit unless y'all have something else available. I don't want to do this anymore. And they're like, okay, you can frost and bake cake. So I did. It was bundt cake.
And so you guys were like, we're going to work these, we'll work these jobs until the next step.
Yes. And it's pretty much doing what you got to do.
So let me ask you a question. You guys are doing some shows right now, but like when you do these shows, you do them with the whole band?
Most of them are with the whole band, depending on who the acts were touring with.
Okay.
And whatnot. A lot of times, like if we're like touring with Black Opry, whatnot, that's always acoustic. But if outside of Black Opry writers like shows, we're always full band.
Okay. That's great. That's really great.
It helps us.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's also like your music is pretty orchestrated. Like, they sound like good enough songs that you could play them on acoustic guitar and it'd be great, but there's also like a lot of shit that brings the party in those records, you know?
Yeah.
A lot of people, when they see us with the band, they're like, wow, that was a whole nother level. But I'm like, yeah, the songs come across definitely like the energy is just having everybody on stage with us. We pull from that a lot.
How far do you guys go out, like, on the road? Do you guys ever come to Austin? I want to see you guys play.
Yes, we were actually supposed to play Arlington last week.
Uh-huh.
But there were some schedule conflicts, so we had to kind of cancel it and rearrange some things. But hopefully, we will be in Texas, and that is the goal.
Yeah. And you guys primarily play around Tennessee and Kentucky and stuff like that, and...
Tennessee, Kentucky. This year we've been touring quite a bit. Done New York, Wisconsin. We're doing Rhode Island next month.
You're doing the Newport Folk Festival. Classic.
We are. It's a pretty big one. Sold out pretty quickly. So we're excited.
How long has that thing been going on? Like longer than I've been alive.
Yeah. It's been
late 50s or something?
Time. Yeah. Every time we say we're playing that, everybody's like, what? Big deal. And then like, I look at the lineup and I'm like, Marion Morris is playing this that weekend.
Well, I think also it was like a big deal in the 60s, but then there was a time when Bob Dylan went and played Electric for the first time there, and all these people booed him and all this stuff. And so there was this kind of like guys from my generation kind of knew that story, and then were like, so what's the Newport Folk Festival? What's their problem with rock and roll? So, yeah.
I didn't know that. I need to look into its history a lot. It sounds
That's the only rich. Real history I know about it, but except for I have friends every once in a while that they're like, shit, I'm playing the Newport Folk Festival this year, and you're like, wow. Hope they don't boo you.
I hope they don't boo me.
So back to you guys moving there, you got your jobs and stuff and you're writing songs every day, which is I think I'm a songwriter as well, and I believe that that's really like writing a song that hits, not just a hit song, but a song that hits on all cylinders, emotionally, melodically, energy-wise, it lifts you and drops you when it needs to. Like, there's a perfect song. That's kind of like running a marathon, and you don't just wake up one day after not running for 2 years and run a marathon very well. You know, you got to run every day and, you know, have your shitty days. And then your good times will come every once in a while. You know what I mean?
Yes, exactly that. We kind of wanted to definitely do that and own it, like hone the skills of just what a great song consists of. And we wanted to hear as little as critiques as possible. So we wanted to make sure we weren't, being rookies.
I don't know if a lot of industry people ask it these days, but back then they would always say like, how many songs have you written?
Yeah.
And if you didn't say like a big number, they would say, all right, then you need to keep writing. Even if like what you showed them was great, they say, well, you just don't have enough songs or haven't written enough songs. So we're like, we got asked that 5 times. And I was like, enough. We're Right. Every 365 songs then, and then they'll never say we don't have enough songs.
Right. So, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I remember in the 90s, like chopping to labels, like you would go and have these meetings with these A&R guys, and they'd be like, okay, great, what else you got? And every time you're like, really? Yeah. So you learn to like eventually not play the very best thing first, so you can like have something third to be like, whoa! So you guys went out, did you start playing just the two of you at like open mics and shit like that? Like, what were you doing?
Yeah, we'd be out. Oh yeah, we go to open mics, and there's sometimes they're like, we'll keep some of them kept going until like 2 or 3 in the morning. As long as everybody kept going, they'll keep going. There's times that we waited 5 hours just to play 2 songs at 2 a.m. But yeah, we started doing open mics. We did it for like probably about 5-6 months, and then we finally started joining the Riders Realm circuit. And that was nice, and we kind of like was going back and forth between those.
That's great.
Yeah, it was like it was the two of us until we got to a point where we're like, I think we can do some things with the band, and in between some things, and to kind of figure out exactly who we are as performers.
Yeah, who did you find as band people? Like, did you have to like Craigslist it?
Yeah,
to this day, we like are pretty close with like the main band that we had from Craigslist, and like our main dudes like during the pandemic they unfortunately left town, but there was a point where like they're playing with Reba and they're like, oh sorry, we can't play with you, we're playing with Reba. I'm like, screw Reba, you gotta play with me. But like to this day I still can't believe that we met some of close people that we still love this day through Craigslist.
Yeah. Okay. It's weird that Reba's band is on Craigslist.
Yeah.
I just did a show last summer with a band and a friend of mine who plays bass with Kenny Chesney, this woman named Harmony Kelly. She was in town hanging out for like the year and until this year when they went back out. But she was like, hey, I'm around if you need to do stuff. But I did a thing with her. But there's like those guys need work, too.
Yeah.
Yeah,
there's, once they're not on the road, a lot of times folks aren't getting paid. So it makes sense that, some folks will post up some Craigslist ads like, hey, need some gigs in between these tours.
This guy, is it Chris Sly or Chris Slay?
Chris Sly.
Sly, okay, I was right. Okay, so Chris Sly and Matt McClure. How did you hook up with those guys?
Another co-writer actually got us in the room with Chris Sly. He was like, hey, I really think like you guys have really messed with him. He's written some great music. He's written some Matt Rascal Flatts hits. He's really like, and I think he really messed with y'all. So we honestly got into the room in the very first song. We hit it off and what we came, I mean, honestly, we were all kind of shy. We're not very shy people at all, but we were kind of like, but I think that's because we felt like it was great.
Yeah,
but it was one of those like, let's see, let's really hope, really hope we get something good. But we ended up leaving with a song that just, it hasn't been, that particular song has not been released yet, but it is it always hits. And that's definitely a special song. So from there, that's who we have almost included in every write, no matter who's in the room. We want Chris in the room.
Right.
He introduced us to Matt, who himself is an incredible producer. And so we were kind of like, hey, if this hit maker of a writer and this Grammy winning of a producer, say, hey, we're liking your sound and let's really like bring it to fruition. Let's go for it. We showed up one day and we all hit it off and went for it. He heard, we went through a whole bunch of songs and Matt heard Whatever You're Up For. And we already chosen like some other songs and he just scrapped everything else and was like, nope, this is what you're starting with right here. And so that's kind of how that went down.
Have you guys ever had that kind of direction or that kind of mentorship before?
No.
No, I mean, we're pretty big on working with people to get to go towards a certain direction, but it's always better when we get to like lead it. And so like he was just like, if you want the industry's ear right now, this song right here is going to catch a lot of people's attention. And he wasn't wrong. And he was not wrong.
No, he's not.
We were, he was we were wanting, well, we like to push the boundaries, but he was like, this will lean them into you, and then the next song you do, we can keep leaning into you, but this is a good starter. And it was nice for him to say, like, great to hear that, because we don't always get the inside perspective. It's kind of like we get that after we release things, not before.
Right.
So, yeah. It's kind of like the two-man show thing.
Right.
Doing our own direction.
That's the problem that I have with the modern music business, and the main change is that you're kind of expected to wear too many hats to be fully effective at every fucking job that they give you now.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes. And they're aware of that, and they don't care. That's kind of, to be honest. But so that's kind of how we've approached that issue, is to kind of choose what we are. So we're lucky there's two of us, first of all.
Yeah, totally. But, very much so.
Yes, we choose kind of what we're strongest at, and we just, you know, we kind of hammer that in the best and kind of not be afraid to ask questions and say, hey, this is too much for me. How can I make this easier on us, since we are having to wear so many hats and aspects of our career? I can't just ask someone to do something for me. Right. And I can't just, right. you know, right. And I'm not in a position to get to just write a check to everybody to do stuff for me.
Right. So, Love Language is the last single that you guys have put out, right? And I also thought, sorry, can I say something? I make dick jokes left and right all the time in my general life, and it's hard with these Zoom interviews when someone doesn't know you, that they like, I'm a good person. I just saw something and I can't not make a dick joke about it. But Your website is the KY Gentleman. KY is short for, yeah, exactly. Totally. So if you guys ever went into porn, that should be like your name. Or if you became porn producers, like the KY Gentleman.
Every single show we say, it's KY Gentleman, not KY Jelly. If you look up KY Jelly, you
okay,
might
so
find
it's not just me.
Look like.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Man, I really like you guys. I wish you lived in Austin. We gotta stay in touch. Let me know when you come to town, because I will totally come see you, and we can go eat whatever you guys go dancing, whatever the fuck you guys want to do. I would go do it with you guys.
Please, yeah.
So you have all these singles out. They're fantastic. Now you said that first song that y'all wrote is gonna come out in the future. So you guys have a arsenal of singles coming out that's eventually gonna be an album, or what's happening on that level?
We actually have an EP that is going to be fully announced this week, with postings of, you know, folks to actually find where that's at. That'll be coming out July 22nd. And so the songs that we've already released, plus one or two more, will be on that. And then after that, like, that's just volume one, and there's plenty more to come. So we're kind of sitting on quite a bit, and we're also still writing quite a bit.
Good.
So we're ready.
Good. Well, Derek and Brandon, it's been really great meeting you guys and talking to you. You're really like, your stuff is amazing. And I think that you guys have a lot of great shit going on. And I look forward to being able to point at a television set one day and go like, I know those guys.
Yeah.
Thank
you.
Yeah,
man. Appreciate that.
Yeah.
So much.
Yeah.
So much.
Well, great talking to you guys. All these songs are available. I'll put links to all this stuff. The KYGentleman.com is the website. Kentucky.
Not KY
Jelly. If you're going to Newport Folk Festival, go see them. And great having you guys on. Great meeting you.
Thank you. Great.
You guys take care.
You too.
Making those memories fade till I'm a drunk cliche, going back till they say. That's Brandon and Derek Campbell, the Kentucky Gentlemen. Find them at the KYGentleman.com and find their music wherever it is you stream and download your jams. That was a great conversation. Those guys are so cool. I really enjoyed talking to them a lot, man. What a great, great, great set of twins. Fantastic dudes, man. And don't forget, gang, while you're out there checking out the KYGentleman.com, you can subscribe to this podcast. Follow us, rate us every episode. Give it a heart. Let us know how we're doing. Spread the word about How Did I Get Here. Share this on social media. We're at How Did I Get Here on Facebook and I'm at Johnny Gowdy on Twitter and Instagram. If you're new to the show, subscribe to it. We're on all platforms. New shows every Tuesday and every Friday. New shows every Tuesday and every Friday. There ain't no fucking seasons on this, baby. I'm putting out shows all the time. All right? Thank you so much for listening. Have a great weekend. Come on out and see Skyrocket tomorrow if you live in Austin at the Hotspot. Find us at skyrockettheband.com. And I want to thank Brandon and Derek Campbell for talking to me. It was really great talking to those dudes from the backyard at my grandma's house. The Kentucky Gentlemen. Have a great weekend, whatever it is you're doing. Let's get down.
I need your love, baby. I don't need your love, baby. Not gonna miss you. Not gonna miss every little thing you do. Trying to pretend my heart's fine. Pour another whiskey and wine. Making those memories fade till I'm a drunk cliche. Throwing back till they say I've had enough. Slow dancing with my cup. We tearing this dance floor up till I forget to forget that I don't need your love. I don't need. I don't need you at all, 'cause I got that alcohol. Yeah, I got that alcohol. I feel nothing at all with that alcohol, baby. I got alcohol. If you think my heart's broke, no, no, no. I got that.